I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. The first thing to say is, don't do it. I don't care what Jesus says. I don't care if Matthew repeats what Jesus said. Don't you do it. I don't know how the lyrical beauty of the Beatitudes could degrade so quickly into pathology. Nor do I understand why Jesus said it. Or if he didn't say it, why the church pretended that he did. But after a splendid beginning, the Sermon on the Mount has become a smorgasbord of weird sayings, some of them just against the grain of human behavior, some of them toxic and bizarre. Almost 20 years ago, Wally Lamb published a powerful and perilous novel entitled I Know This Much Is True. It is the story of Dominic Birdsey, whose identical twin Thomas is a paranoid schizophrenic. Although Thomas mostly manages himself with medication, he suffers episodic breaks. During one of those breaks, Thomas, in protest against the American war in Iraq, cuts off his right hand in the town library, citing this morning's verse from Matthew while doing so. The rest of the novel continues in that vein until Dominic finally gains some measure of understanding and acceptance of the loss and failure and sorrow of his family's life. But that takes place in a novel. You can write anything in a novel. Just don't do it in real time or real life. However bad you may feel about yourself or something you may have done that you feel offends somebody, don't listen to Jesus. Just this once, don't do it. And the rest of this passage from Matthew's Gospel, how are we supposed to make sense of it? It just is not true. Anger is not the same as murder. Not in the law, not in practice. We know that. We know that thoughts and deeds are not always synchronous. Jimmy Carter, in his famous Playboy interview, startled the world. Well, at least the non-male world. When he admitted that although he had been faithful to his wife, he had indeed felt lust in his heart. Duh. Again, they are not the same. They are not the same, lust in heart and adultery. One involves thinking and feeling, the other proceeds to doing. Since the time people got married, there had been painful confusion and controversy over the ending of marriages. In our own church, we have gone from a time when divorced persons could not be married again in the church to now when civil divorce is recognized. Are there really no grounds for a marriage to end other than adultery? Finally, what do we make of oaths? Most societies have taken oaths seriously. We require our elected president to recite an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. We don't just take his casual word about it. When you testify in court, you are sworn by an oath to tell the truth. We don't just assume that you will be truthful. These oaths are solemn and ceremonial and serve as a kind of liturgy of truth. I mean no disrespect for the Bible when I confess to you that I find these sayings to be a mishmash of weird and impossible ideals disconnected to ordinary human hearts and minds. However, when we finished reading that today, I said the Gospel of the Lord. And they are, after all, included in the book we call sacred. The best I can do is to think about these sayings as a kind of trope upon the Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. All of these weird verses can, to put it charitably, be heard as a call to purity of heart. We know that murder is more serious than anger, but anger destroys the community also. and unacknowledged anger can fester and poison even the purest heart. Speaking as a male, I am well aware of the difference between lust in my heart and sleeping with the wrong woman. But lust has a way of insinuating itself into every fiber of a person until it appears, maybe innocently, maybe dangerously, destroying the most precious and fragile of relationships. I don't actually know about divorce. I have been married for 48 years and have never considered that our marriage might end for any reason. But I have counseled too many people who have suffered the real and regrettable sorrow of the unraveling of the bonds of matrimony. Most of the grounds fell far short of adultery, although the sorrow was no less mournful and the damage no less painful. I've never taken that many oaths in my life. I did take an oath when I was ordained a priest. I swore an oath in the courthouse when I was admitted to practice law. And I suppose I swore an oath when I stood with my wife before the priest 48 years ago. But even without the formal oath, I believe I would have tried my best to be a faithful priest. Even apart from the courthouse oath, I would have rendered my best efforts on behalf of my clients. And even apart from the words about better for worse, richer for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, I know I would have loved and cherished the love of my life. As is often the case, my granddaughter Claire, precocious in her wisdom, has given me the template for making sense out of this weird gospel lesson. Claire was at our house on Friday. She has a piano lesson every Friday. We pick her up, take her to her lesson, then we bring her home for supper. Well, last Friday we had fish sticks and French fries. Also, with delicately arranged strawberries and raspberries. She even made out of paper chef's hats and aprons for us. After supper, Claire brought me a folded piece of paper and asked me to make a project. So we're doing projects. At top of the first page was the word seeds, S-E-E-D-S, seeds. And at the bottom was name with a long line next to it. I was supposed to sign my name, and inside I was supposed to write something about seeds. There were four quadrants inside the paper. On the first, there was space to write. And there was a space to draw a picture of my writing, a space for a diagram, and a space for a picture of my diagram. In the space for writing, she had drawn five lines, you know, to write on. As I was starting to write my essay on seeds, Claire stopped me. "Grandpa, if you want to get an E, you have to fill all the lines." What was funny about her admonition is that Claire is actually the most unbounded little girl in her thought and imagination. Never seems bound by the rules. But she'd gotten the point. If you want to get the right reward, you have to follow the right rules. I think this weird passage from Matthew might be heard as the reverse admonition from Jesus. If you want to have life, if you want to be faithful, if you want to reach the fullness of following Jesus, don't limit yourself to following the rules. Imagine beyond them. Imagine that anger ignites as many fires as murder. Imagine that lust stirs the pot as potently as behavior. Imagine that faithfulness in marriage may lie beyond sexual behavior. And imagine truthfulness as a way of living and not just the blunt edge of an oath. So I invite you to ponder these verses with me. Imagine, examine your own heart, your own soul. Where does your purity of heart reside? But above all else, leave your hand attached to your arm. That particular admonition is just wrong. Amen.